Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, and while you're turning there, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, and just grateful. It's wonderful that a lot of members are Dallas Cowboy fans. That's wonderful. I don't have a favorite team, so I'm just neutral. Now, the colors that I'm wearing is really for Valentine's, not for Kansas City, okay? Because I really feel that Philadelphia is going to win. So anyway, that being said, we're going to all stand as we share our scripture together. While you're standing, I want to also share with you that Deacon Melvin Pollard, his brother, will be funeralized at the 5th Street Baptist Church this coming Saturday, February the 18th at 1 p.m. So be in prayer for the family, and that service for Mr. Robert Pollard will be this Saturday at the 5th Street Baptist Church on February the 18th at 1 p.m. God's word says, Jesus spoke another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade had sprung up and brought forth fruit, then the tares appeared also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did these tares come from? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you uproot the wheat also with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the harvest time, I will say to the reapers, gather the tares first, and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barns. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I want to leave a thought with you this morning. Something is wrong with my field. You may be seated. Father, we are grateful that you have blessed us to be in the house of worship. We don't take it for granted. We could have laid down last night and not rise this morning. But in your infinite mercy, you didn't allow death to take us, but you woke us up right on time. And God, I thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of health and strength, that we would be able to gather ourselves together to let you know that we thank you for all that you've done. I pray now that you would give me the anointing of your Holy Spirit, that the words I speak would benefit somebody. It will help all to know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And Lord, we love you. Speak through us now. Speak boldly. Speak clearly. And convict us, Lord, that we might go further on in our faith to give you praise and worship. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the hardest things for any of us to do is to admit that we're wrong. Or we're to admit that we have failed in some initiative or we have come short of something. That's the hardest thing for us to do. Even a little toddler, even a little child, if you ask them, did you take that cookie? They'll shake their head and deny anything about a cookie while the crumbs are falling from their mouth. It's hard for us to admit that there's something wrong with me. We live in a very critical age, the time that we're living in now, where people will talk about, criticize, publicize everything else about everybody else and the wrong that they're doing, but they cannot see their own fault. Something is wrong in our field. By that, we're simply saying that none of us are perfect. Every one of us have flaws, we have defects. If you did not have defects, then God would not need to work on you. The only people that I know that are not committing sin are those over to my right, and they are under the ground. Until we get to that point where we transition from this life, we will always struggle with something being wrong in our field. Why is this message important? Why is it that we need to understand our own flaws? I believe it's important because, one, it points to our consistent need of God. Notice I said consistent. Not every now and then, not every Sunday morning, but always, day and night, 24/7, you and I will always need God's help. We'll always need His help. I called on Him a few minutes ago and told Him, Lord, help me. Lord, help me, because we need His strength. As I bring you into this parable, this will bring us to the second reason of why there's something wrong with us or why we need God, and that is you have an enemy. Your enemy is not necessarily the person that's seated next to you. You might not be able to get along with them sometime, but that doesn't constitute them being your enemy. Hello? You have an enemy, an adversary called the devil. His number one objective is to keep you out of heaven. His number one goal is to bring every fault, everything that's wrong with you, he wants to bring that to the light so he can say, see, I told you. I told you. This is a very interesting parable because it's the one that follows Jesus' parable about the ground. And I'll mention that in just a few minutes, but when we think about it, we need to be concerned that there is an issue in my life. And as much as he televised it, he can't solve it. Dr. Phil, no Oprah, can solve your problem. There's only one. Listen carefully as we make our way through this parable and through the saying of Jesus, because we will definitely learn something, and from learning, we will be able to apply it to our lives. It would do us well if we accept what God allows and focus more on growth rather than on our comfort. A lot of us want to be comfortable. When we pray, we're praying, God, give us this day our daily bread and also the bread for tomorrow and the next day and the future and so on. That's how we pray. We love the bed of ease, but when it comes to having difficulties that would help us gain strength, no, we don't care for that. We don't care for the struggle. But I can guarantee you that if you make it through your struggle, you're going to get stronger. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm struggling, but I'm going to get stronger. I'm not going to stay weak. God's going to make a way for me. God's going to provide for me. God will meet my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What I'm telling you is there might be something wrong with your field, but there's nothing wrong with God. Everything he does is perfect. I want to break down a couple of things to you. And the reason why we said this is an unusual parable is because when Jesus told it, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like. That's a comparative term. Ears perked up when he said that word. He said, the kingdom is heaven of heaven is like this. And then he went on to say, this man had a field. And he sowed good seed. Everybody say good seed. The landowner, obviously, comparative to the kingdom of heaven, he's the owner of the field. Am I right? He owns the field, Brother Bolden. And when he planted in the field, Jesse, he planted good seed. Nothing wrong with the seed. Nothing wrong with the field. But notice something else happens. The transaction that takes place now is that while men slept, circle that in your Bible if you can. Make a note of it on your iPad if you want to. But note that while men slept, God was not asleep. The owner of the field was not sleeping. And yet an enemy came and sabotaged that field. Isn't that something? The kingdom of heaven now is this transaction that's taking place where a saboteur has gone into this field, this good field, and sown some bad seed. Rebecca, that's a problem. The kingdom of God now. We worry about the little stuff that goes on in our life, and yet Jesus said, in the kingdom of God, under the things that God owns, there are things happening that God allows. I'll get to that in just a second. I feel like preaching. I almost lost my voice this week, but I feel like preaching now. So we're concerned about it. What is it that can impact our field? What is it that can take place and be a problem with our field? Are y'all listening in here? All right, we know that the field is a good field, and yet there are things that can take place that'll mess up your field. I would take y'all back to the farm, but you can't handle it. I would go down to Scottsburg, to Central Virginia, where we used to plant the tobacco, plant the corn and the wheat. And while we planted corn and wheat, that wasn't the only thing that was growing in that field. Are y'all still here? First of all, you face the issue of where there can be the contamination of the field. Contaminants. People drop stuff on the field. They dump stuff. If you're not watching, they will come and they'll pour out stuff on your field. And the next thing you know, you got a problem. You got a problem. Anybody in here ever had folks that dump stuff on you? You know, like you didn't have enough problems of your own. Here they come dumping stuff on you. Every time someone will gossip on another person, you're dumping stuff on them. Y'all ain't going to talk to me today. Contamination is a constant issue, especially since they invented Facebook. Now people can dump on you at a distance. Are y'all in the building? And when this happens, you can't spend all your time trying to get back at folk that dumped in your field. Y'all not going to hear me today. A lot of time is spent in retribution. I'm going to get you back. When what you ought to do is go on about your business. Go on and do what God told you to do. Especially if my mama was here today, she would tell you what don't kill you will make you. Are y'all listening? So Reverend Gibbons, the problem is that we are not aware that in the realm of the kingdom of God, under his authority, under his control, there are things that happen, and certainly it's not what we want to happen. We don't want things to contaminate our life, but yet you live in a world. You live in a world where you're subject to sabotage. Second condition that can happen in your field is that there are climate changes. Some days it's sunshine. We like sunshine, don't we? Just like it's raining outside, and a whole lot of people saw it raining outside, and they said, I ain't going. Hello, welcome those on Facebook. Welcome those on YouTube. Yeah, I know. It was raining. But as a field, it must have changes in conditions. You can't have it raining all the time, and you can't have it sunshine all the time. The seed will not grow. But when you have those transitions, when you have those changes, when you have those situations where the field climate changes, God said, that's how my seed grows. Come here, Dorothy Norwood. She said, there got to be a little rain in your life to appreciate the sunshine. Has it been raining on anybody? Now I want to interject this point right here, that it may not fit your definition of what is right, but God changes our climate to help us grow stronger and to help us to lean upon His everlasting arm. While the climate changes, your God will never change. Oh, talk to me in here. Talk to me in here. Third condition that happens is that rocks and obstructions. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We look at it always, somebody throwing something in my field. But sometimes the rocks and obstructions come from us. We roll that old big boulder of doubt right in front of what God said. And we got that old big boulder of doubt telling us what God can't do. How many times have you done it? How many times have I done it? The Lord says, I'm going, your shepherd, I'm going to bring you through this. But rather than trusting Him, I don't know, so-and-so down the street, they didn't make it so well, but that's not you, that's so-and-so. Or fear, or intimidation, those rocks come into your life and it makes it impossible for the seed to grow. Jesus said, you got to check your ground. In that earlier parable, He said there were four types of ground. You had the wayside where time the seed is sown, that Satan or the birds of the air come and they'll eat up the seed. Then you have the seed that is sown in what we call stony places, hard heart. Hard heart. Can't really accept it, can't really deal with it. We've got a hard heart when it comes to accepting what God has said. Let me tell you something. I'd be the first to admit, I don't understand everything that God says. Hear me, young people, I don't understand it. But I tell you what, I believe every word He said. Because God is good and He cannot change His nature. I'm going to wrap things up in just a minute, but I want to help you with this because by now you're probably realizing I got a whole lot of stuff wrong with my field. Anybody willing to admit that? Got a whole lot of things I need to work on. And Jesus talked about the stony ground, the wayside ground. Then He talked about the thorny ground. People that worried all the time. We're worried about this. Don't look at the news. All you're going to do is tumble and toss all night long after you look at the news. It's not good news. Look at the good news. Read your Bible before you go to sleep at night. Don't be tossed and driven with every wind of doctrine, everything that blows in the world. Because God cannot change His nature, He's still good. Y'all going to say amen? Amen? Thirdly, we look at it, the rocks and obstructions. But then fourthly is this issue of bad seed. Al, what is a bad seed? Well, you planted wheat, but it looked like Johnson grass came up. Isn't that something? Freddie, you planted corn. Now you got to deal with somebody over here, and it looked like a potato plant in a cornfield. That's not right. In the parable, Jesus said an enemy. Everybody say enemy. An enemy had done this. When the sun set and everybody was sleeping, the enemy crept in, and he sowed the bad seed. I really got two interesting points to close with. While men slept, God was still awake. Let me say that again. While men slept, read your text. The landowner, when they came with the question, Bernard, when they came with the question, there's something wrong in the field. We've noticed these tares growing among the wheat. There's something wrong. He said, yeah, an enemy did it. Now, if he knew who did it, he must have saw them when they did it. Y'all not going to talk to me up in here today. God wasn't asleep. When he sees problems coming in your way, he did not just notice it, he planned it. I'm going to show you why in a minute. As we go through this life, you're going to have some ups and you're going to have some downs. You're going to have some situations that occur that you have absolutely no control over it. The workers couldn't control it. Certainly the field could not control it. But yet it happened. God, who could have controlled it, God, who could have stopped that hardship from coming in your life, Almighty God, who could have said, no, you're not coming in here today. Now, don't get me wrong. The Lord's not just going to put things on you. He's only going to put on you what you can bear. Am I right, Miss Kavanaugh? And the fact that you're still living today, that you're still, amen, thriving today, is a testimony to the goodness of God. Can anybody in here say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Where would I be? Where would I be? Donna, you're a testimony, because it didn't look like things were looking too good. Something happened to your field. But yet God Almighty kept whispering to you, I'm going to bring you through this. I'm going to bring you through that problem that you're facing. And some of you have had hardships in your life, but God brought you through it. Now, it may not have happened the way you wanted to and when you wanted to, but he made a way out of no way. Let me hurry on. So we've examined the types of field. Now, let's understand a little bit about this. Number one, God allowed the enemy access to what he owned. God allowed the enemy access to what he owned. While men slept, the scripture says, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now watch this. Tares are not some harmless weed. In Palestine, tares were a serious problem. They were poisonous. They could kill you. Some of the things that happens in our life, it can actually destroy your life. How in the world can something poisonous now be raised up with something that is edible and good? How can that happen? Watch this. God knew in his grand design that what happened to you was not going to destroy you. You missed it. Let me go on to the next slide. Quit trying to stop God and start listening to him and follow God. We get on our knees and we spend hours trying to change God's will when it's his will that you make it to the other side. Jesus is a testimony that when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he pray? Not my will, but thine be done. So even though the enemy comes, he's no threat to God. And what God's going to show you through this process, he's really no threat to you. You can survive. Do something for me. Pat yourself on the chest and say, I survived. I survived. And I'm not talking about coming out of it half broken. I'm talking about it coming out it whole. Because you survived. Any survivors in here? Anybody can testify, I made it. Despite of all my difficulties, I made it. Some of you are single moms and you thought you couldn't make it, but you made it. Amen, somebody. How did you make it? God was watching over you. God was looking out for you, and he opened doors for you that man could not close. Don't spend all your time worrying about the bad seed that's growing up next to you. You grow. You grow. You hold your head up. You act like you know God and watch him move. All right. I'm moving on. God did not remove the threat. Workers came in and said, sir, didn't you plant good seed in your field? He said, yeah. An enemy did it. They came in and sowed the tares. When they asked the question, Who sowed? How did the tares get there? The enemy did it. Have you ever stopped and asked God? I asked him one time, Lord, why do you keep putting up with the devil? Y'all might not ask, so I'm going to ask you. Why is the devil still around? You know what the Lord told me? It's not his time yet. God's the one holding the watch, and the devil has a short time. God's got eternity. You're not going to wear God out. Can I get a witness? And God allows him to come, just like an old bad dog, you know, when an old bad dog come around, they want to bark and everything. Anytime God gets ready, God can tell him, get on away from here. That's how we talked in the country. God did not remove the threat. The worker said, do you want us to go and gather up the tares? Look at the response in the scripture. No. No. So when you pray sometime and you're saying, Lord, get rid of that person, what good are they? I'm talking now. That coworker, I can't get along with him. Lord, get him fired. Be careful, little mouth, what you ask, because you might be the one getting up out of there. Hello? Listen to why he said that. And this is going to make you shout. No, lest while you gather up the tares, look at it, you uproot the wheat also. In other words, you remain planted in Christ Jesus, because if your root is in Jesus, you may sway, you may stumble, but you're still rooted. You're still grounded in something that is good and something that is perfect. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow in Christ Jesus. Anybody learning anything? Amen. Something might be wrong with my field, but I'm still going to grow. Now watch this. He said that for the reason, I'm getting ready to go to my summary. He said that for a reason to let you know that no matter what happens in your life, no matter how many times your life gets sabotaged by this and by that, by circumstances, you're still going to grow because you got what? Good ground. And you got a good God that puts you in the ground. But watch this. God put his seed in you that you might be good. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. Let me move on to my next point. I said, you got good seed. You got a good God. But when the testimony is over, you're going to have a good life. I attended a memorial service yesterday for Mrs. Campbell in Ebbington. And I'm telling you that even though she had some ups and some downs, at the end of her life, she had a testimony that she trusted God. Amen. What's going to be your testimony when you leave this world? You had it your way? Number one, Frank Sinatra wrote the song, but you don't have to live that kind of life. You can dedicate yourself to believing and trusting in God and knowing that he's what? A way maker? Knowing that he's a burden bearer? Knowing that he's a field fixer? Because when your life got jacked up, God, amen, worked on you. God worked in you, but now he wants to work through you. Can I get a witness here? Because when you trust God, I'm telling you that God is able. Look at somebody and tell them God is able. The bad seed is no threat to you. The bad seed can't keep you from growing. He said, let both grow together, which means I don't care if it's bad, because my business is to do what God told me to do. You cannot live in a fully sanitized world. Are you with me? Even in COVID, even when people wore masks, they still got COVID. Help me, somebody. But guess who brought you through? Guess how you made it over? Guess how you made it this far? God walked with you. God talked with you. God kept you. God wrapped his arms around you. God is good. as a close, as a close. Something might be wrong with my field, but I'm getting better. My grandpa Jimmy had more rocks in his field than any field I know. Every time you would go past the field, you'd think we were growing rocks. But guess what? As long as we kept moving the rocks aside, the crops began to come out. We took the rocks and put them in the road because they would cover up the ruts of life. And what I'm telling you, what you ought to do with the rocks that folks throw at you, you ought to take them and put them under your feet. And you ought to say, I'm walking on good ground now, because the rock you threw at me, I didn't just take it and look at it. I didn't just fight it. I put it under my feet. You got to put stuff under your feet right now in the name of Jesus. Three takeaways. Number one, your life belongs to God. Every time you're looking at your life and you're saying, this is messed up, this is not working right, just say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord, everything I am, everything I'm not. I'm completely yours. I belong to you. I don't always think the way I need to think. I don't always do the things I need to do, but I got the good seed in me. I got the good seed in me. Secondly, your enemy cannot destroy you. Your enemy cannot destroy you. Why? He doesn't own you. He doesn't own you. And if you have problems with the number two item that I put up there, your enemy cannot destroy, go back to number one. You belong to God. Are you with me? And then thirdly, focus on your growth in Christ. We're spending far too much time focusing on negativity, which is the devil stuff, and you're not spending enough time on the things that are positive. In Philippians, it says, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if any praise, think on these. And yet we say, I'm going to think on that. Then first time somebody stole some gossip at her, I wonder if that's true or not. Look at your neighbor and say, leave it alone. You need to focus your life on God. If God thought the devil was so important, he would have written a book about the devil. He would have given you a whole bunch of precautions about the devil. You know what the Bible says about the devil? Resist him and he will flee from you. You keep devoted to what God told you in his word, which he wrote a whole book about himself. I am the Lord your God. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus brings out the I am. I am the bread of life. I am the water. I am the truth. I am the life. He brings out that I am so you'd know about him and not worry about your life. I close with this. My daddy used to get out there in the field and work it. I worked it because he made me. Sean, I was forced labor. He made me. He worked it because that was his farm. And he was determined to grow things on it. God's working in your life because you belong to him. And he's determined you will outgrow that weed. Oh, huh? You're going to outgrow that poison. You're going to outgrow what people are saying about you. You're going to outgrow that doubt. You're going to outgrow that fear. You're going to outgrow that anxiety. You're going to grow to the point where you can stand up and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You and I are God's field. Let him work in you. Let him work in you. Let him work in you. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for your mercy. Oh, God, I just got started. But, Lord, I want to continue with this sermon series. God, about this field. There's something wrong with my field. Bless us, Lord, with the message now. Send it out to those that need it. And let it sink deep into their heart that it might bring them to the place of truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give everyone the opportunity, if you have not before, you need to receive Christ as Lord. That's the only way you can have access to the good seed Jesus has to sow into your life. I'm going to ask everyone in here to stand, but you online, contact us. If you're feeling conviction about something that's going on in your field, write to us, pastor@crossroadbc.com. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com, where we'll be able to help you grow in your faith. God is a good God, and He wants to do great things in your life. If there be one today, the altar's open. Jesus said, whosoever will,